Open your Bibles this morning to the very first book of the Bible, Genesis. We'll be in Genesis chapter 24. Genesis 24, reading verses 54 through verse 58 of Genesis chapter 24. If you found that, if you'll please stand in the honor of reading of God's Word this morning. Genesis chapter 24, beginning in verse number 54. I'll read the even verses if you'll join with me on the odds. Starting in Genesis chapter 54 and verse 24, verse 54. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, Send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the reading, our opportunity we have this time to hear from the man of God. I pray that we listen attentively, have open ears and hearts to impress upon us what we need this morning. I pray the Holy Spirit would work. And we give you all the glory and praise in your name. Amen.
Pastor to lead us this altar to pray. Stripes that can heal, the blood that still save, I have been blessed. He's my shoulder to lean on when I am down, a rock where He leads me when I'm overwhelmed, the place where He hides me under His wings. He's not just a song, He's the reason I sing. I have been blessed. I have been blessed, God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. God has been good, so
a blessing. Thank you, folks. I love the message of that song, and I'm glad I don't have a barn burner of a message this morning, because I'm not in the mood to preach a barn burner right now. Amen. My heart's full, and God has certainly blessed, and we owe Him so very, very much. Thank you for that good reminder this morning. I want to speak to you for a little bit on the subject, the Holy Spirit and salvation. Let's pray together and get into this chapter here, chapter 24. I hope you have your Bible open. And I just want to share this, what's on my heart today. Let's pray together. Father, we pause just to say thank You, all the blessings that the trio just sang about. And certainly, Lord, we don't, I guess we probably do, take them for granted. And we shouldn't. So much, Lord, that You've given us. And as Your Word says, to whom much is given, of them shall much be required. Help us, Lord, to live with that on our minds as we ponder how good You've been. You've been good to give us a Bible. I pray that You'll help me to preach it this morning through the power of Your Spirit. Thank You for what the Holy Spirit does in our hearts and lives in the matter of salvation. And Lord, I pray that You'll help me today to be a blessing to the people in Christ's name. And amen. Weddings can be one of the most blessed and sweet times for a church to enjoy. And certainly we have had our share of some real fun and joyous weddings over the years here at Faith Baptist. And, Lord willing, we look forward to some that are already on the calendar next year. And one that might be added, I think probably will be added to the two that are already on the calendar. At a wedding, there are a lot of people present, but there are two main characters or participants, and those would be the bride and the groom, the two that are exchanging vows and looking forward to spending their lives together as husband and wife. There are other people present, no doubt about it, parents and grandparents and siblings and friends and extended family members and co-workers, sometimes neighbors. And they come, and that's one of the great things about a wedding, is when the friends and the family come to it. At a wedding where the spouses are saved, there is also an unseen guest present. He is not seen, but he is the one most responsible for the wedding taking place. He led the two together. He worked in their lives to bring them to the hour of their wedding ceremony. And of course, I am speaking about the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit leads a young man and a young woman, and vice versa, leads them to each other. And He is the unseen guest at a Christian wedding. And let me just say, I won't preach on this, but say for the benefit of the young people in the room who are still in the process of someday finding a mate, just let the Spirit of God have His way in your life. Now, we are very, very strong in our belief that kids should not match up as teenagers in boyfriend-girlfriend relationships. And you know, folks, nowadays, They match up even in grade school. I mean, it's pushed. It's shoved down the throat. You got to have a boyfriend. You got to have a girlfriend. And like I told my Sunday school class this morning, just, you know, we tell our young people to go to sleep in the will of God and let the Holy Spirit lead two people together. Now, I'll tell you something. You make the choice. You may make the wrong choice. Holy Spirit makes the choice. It's the right choice. And He is the unseen guest at every wedding. Now, every Christian wedding. A wedding is also a picture of salvation. Jesus is the bridegroom. So the bridegroom pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. And the bride represents the people on earth who have had the invitation. See, the bridegroom set apart a time, set aside a time, and specifically asked the woman at that point, would you be my wife? Will you marry me? And she had to respond with yes or no. And, of course, if they're at the wedding altar, the answer was yes. And so the groom said, would you be my wife? And the bride responded and said yes. And the groom is a picture of Jesus Christ. And the bride is the picture of people on earth who have accepted the invitation that Jesus gives to be saved. Come and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And like, watch it now, like the Holy Spirit brought the groom and the bride together, the Holy Spirit brings Jesus and unsaved people together. The Holy Spirit is involved in the process of a wedding, and the Holy Spirit is involved in the process of salvation, the salvation of a lost soul. Now, we have a picture of that here in Genesis 24, a beautiful picture of the matter of salvation and the people involved. For sake of time, let me just give you the cast, if you will, in Genesis 24. You've got Abraham. He is the father of Isaac. And Abraham, in this passage, is a picture of God. Isaac is Abraham's son. And Isaac wants and needs a wife, a bride. And Isaac is a picture of Jesus Christ, who wants and needs a bride. So Abraham is a picture of God the Father. And Isaac is a picture of Jesus Christ. Rebecca is a young lady who is courted to become Isaac's bride. The servant goes and courts Rebecca and brings her to a point of decision. Will you marry my master's son? And Rebecca is a picture of people on earth who Jesus wants to save. Believe it or not, friend, Jesus still wants to save lost sinners. Yes, it does. And though you got Abraham, he's a picture of God the Father. You got a picture of Isaac, he's a picture of Jesus the Son. You've got Rebecca, she's a picture of the lost person who God wants them to be saved. And then you've got Eliezer, he's the servant. Eliezer is the servant of Abraham. And Abraham sends Eliezer to his home country, now listen, to search for Isaac a bride. And Eliezer goes on a search to bring a bride for Isaac. Remember, Isaac pictures Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Spirit is doing the work that God the Father sent him on. And he goes to the earth and he seeks a people to become saved, if you will, to become married to the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a beautiful picture here in this. Abraham is a picture of God the Father. Isaac is a picture of Jesus Christ. Rebecca is a picture of a lost person on earth. And Eliezer is a picture of the Holy Spirit sent by God to gather up a bride for Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I want to preach about for a little bit this morning. The Holy Spirit brings people to a place of decision about salvation. Brings people to a place of decision. Look at verse number 58. The Bible says, and they called Rebecca and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? Will you go with this servant, Abraham's servant, will you go with Eliezer to be married to Isaac? And she said, I will go. Eliezer had gone to a strange country. He had found Rebecca. He had started working and talking to Rebecca and started working on her and developed a little bit of a relationship with her, all for the purpose of bringing Rebecca to Isaac so that she could become his bride. And friend, the Holy Spirit is in the business of working on people's hearts here on planet Earth to draw them into a relationship with the heavenly bridegroom, Jesus Christ. And that's a great picture here. There's so much in this story that I don't have time to preach about it today. I'm only zeroing in on this one aspect. The Holy Spirit is involved in the work of bringing people to a point of decision. And I want to say today that the Holy Spirit uses all kinds of situations and circumstances to bring people to a point of decision about salvation. I thought about this. He uses a godly home and faithful parents to bring kids to a point of decision about salvation. They just sang about that. Just sang about what a blessing it is to have a saved dad and a saved mom. And the truth of the matter is, it's very special. It always thrills me to see the children of our members get saved. I'm happy to see anybody get saved. But I'm especially happy to see the children of our members get saved. The parents give birth and they bring a little one into this world. And you know, no matter if it's baby number one or baby number eight, and all in between and some beyond that, it doesn't matter. Whenever a little child is birthed into this world, it's a special occasion for a mom and a dad. But what comes with that child is the responsibility to rear that child for Christ. I think about Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, where the parents are expected to teach the children, their children, about God's Word. I think of Ephesians 6, 4. Where fathers are told to bring up the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And of course, that begins with the subject of salvation. You know, last Sunday, maybe this made me think about this week, it was a joy to baptize four people last Sunday. And three of them were boys who are all grown up from homes here in our church where dad and mom are saved and living for God and serving the Lord and faithfully coming to church. And these kids, these boys, were brought up in a home environment where there's an emphasis on the Bible and where there's some teaching from the Bible and songs are sung about Bible truths and prayer is a part of every day at mealtime and maybe before you go to bed and maybe family altar time. There is talk of God. There is talk of Jesus. There's talk of sin. There's talk of heaven. There's talk of hell. There's talk of salvation. And you know what, folks? The Holy Spirit uses all of that to bring a child to a point of decision about salvation. The Holy Spirit uses all of that to make a child's heart hungry for salvation. After I'd already decided this is what the Lord wanted me to preach on this morning, I got a text from a member of the church and said, our daughter has been saved and would like to get baptized this Sunday. And here again, a Christian home where the Bible is magnified. And Jesus is talked about. And God is worshipped. And Bible truths. And prayer is made. And you know what, folks? You think you're just filling time. No, 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 no. You're not just filling time. The Holy Spirit uses all of that to bring a child to a point of salvation. And parents, let me just give you a word of caution this morning. Do your part and let the Holy Spirit bring that child to the point of decision. Sometimes parents are so anxious for their kids to get saved. And I understand that. And boy, we're so anxious for our kids to get saved. But if we're not careful, we rush and we kind of hurry up the process. And we make comments like, you know, you need to get saved. And when are you going to get saved? And I want you to get saved, you know. And so pretty soon, at our leading and at our prodding and at our insistence, the child bows their head and says a prayer. And you know what? It's always sweet to hear children pray. But I want to tell you something. If the Holy Spirit has not prepared the heart, there is no salvation there. There is no salvation there. That's the honest truth. I would talk about God. I would talk about the Lord. I would magnify the Bible. I would sing about the Lord. I would have prayer. And as I've said many times over the years, at our home at night, I prayed for each child by name. And in their hearing, I said, dear God, I pray that you will save Hannah someday. I pray that you'll save Ben someday. I pray that you'll save Abby someday. I wanted each one of them to know that it was important to Dad and Mom that they got saved. But I didn't want to hurry the process. I didn't want to rush the process. Because, friend, the Holy Spirit of God does the work of preparation. You pray and you teach and you model and you encourage and you talk. But let the Holy Spirit of God bring that child to a point of decision where they know. And let me tell you something, folks. I don't have time to preach it this morning. But those children, until they are to the age where they can understand the difference between right and wrong, they are safe in the blessed grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that with all of my heart. Don't rush the process. Don't insist and don't overdo it. You know, my wife and I now, we're at the age where our youngest child is 18 and fixing to head off on, you know, to school. And our other five kids are married. Now we have grandchildren. And we love it. You know, we love those eight grandchildren and one on the way. And Ben and Ashley are coming to the States here in March to have this baby. And we're looking forward to that. They're going to actually have the baby in Oklahoma City. I'm not looking forward to that, but they are going to be here in the States. Oklahoma City is a lot closer than Madagascar, all right? And so now, you know, we're looking at these grandchildren. And we want them to be saved. And we pray for them to be saved. And we're not with them. So we can't pray in their hearing. But when they're with us, we can. And we had the boys recently. Hannah had some procedure done on her nose, on the inside of her nose. And she said, could y'all take the boys for 3 days? Could we take the boys? Folks, I put deer hunting on hold for three grandsons. What are you talking about? Absolutely. Now, that's pretty powerful right there. All right. So I didn't go for 2 days because I was around the house a day and a half with those little guys. And here we had them. And so Friday night or Thursday, I can't remember what night, we got them together for devotions. And I got them on the couch there. And Max and Kyle and Ian. And Max has been saved. And I was talking about, you know, we're going to pray. And we're going to ask them. I forget what the devotion was about, but it was something to do with salvation. And I said, one of these days, the Spirit of God is going to knock on your heart. And He's going to want you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I said, Max, I know you've been saved. And Kyle spoke up and he said, I'm not saved. But you know what? He didn't say, I want to be saved. I need to be saved. Listen to me very carefully. It would have been very easy for me to start talking to him and twist a little prayer out of him and program him to say a prayer. But friend, I want to tell you something. There's only one person who knows if the heart of that child is ready for salvation. And that's the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit of God. And I didn't press the matter. I said, I know it, Kyle, and we're going to pray for you. And I prayed for Kyle and Ian in their hearing. God, please, I trust that you'll knock on their door. Someday you will. You'll knock on the door of their heart. And I trust that Kyle and Ian will let you in and be saved. I'm just simply saying, friend, you can rush that thing if you're not careful. And by the way, it's good to be concerned about it. I'd rather you be concerned than not be concerned. But let me tell you, the Holy Spirit has to be involved in the process of salvation. The Holy Spirit prepares the heart. You teach, you pray, you model, and you sing, and you live for the Lord and lead that work to bring Him to Christ to the Holy Spirit. Then I thought about this week. The Holy Spirit uses life situations to bring people to a point of decision. He uses life situations. You know, I was thinking about John chapter 9. I was thinking about that man that was blind. Remember him in John chapter 9? And Jesus, you know, I can't remember if that was the one he spit on his eyes, spit the clay. But he told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man washed. He went and washed. And he got his eyesight back. Now, he's a grown man. He's a grown man. And, man, he can see. And he's walking around the town. And people have known he's been blind all his life. And they see him and say, what are you got eyesight. He said, yeah, this man, he put some salve on my eyes, some clay, and he told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And I went and washed, and now, who is he? Well, I don't know who he is, but he put some clay on my eyes, and I can see. And they hauled him off to the Pharisees and said, what do you think about this? And the Pharisees chided him. And then they got his parents. Hey, how did your boy? And the parents, because they were afraid of the Jews. The parents said, we don't know. Ask him. He's an adult. Ask him. And then the Pharisees, they cast him out. Verse 34 says, look at this, folks. Here's a man been born blind, hasn't seen a thing for his entire life. And the day he gets saved, which should be a day of rejoicing, he's everybody's enemy. And cast out. but verse number 35 says, Jesus found him who had been cast out. And Jesus came, and paraphrasing, Jesus said, sir, do you know who it is that made you see? And the blind man said, I wish I knew who it was. And Jesus revealed himself as the Son of God. And that blind man got saved and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was life situations that the Holy Spirit used to prepare that heart of that blind man to be saved. Hey, folks, salvation wasn't when he got his physical sight. Salvation was when he got his spiritual sight. When God saved him. And I was thinking, you know, and I won't go into the story for sake of time. But you know the story. If you've been here at age 18 in my life, the Spirit of God used trouble and difficulty in my life to work on my heart and make me ready to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I've been reared in church. And I'd gone forward in the church service and I'd said a prayer and I'd been baptized because the committee thought that I was a legitimate convert. But I'm going to tell you something, nothing ever happened in my heart. And that day, man, the Spirit of God brought conviction to my heart and I knew that I was lost and I trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I was thrilled this week to hear a story that Wayne Irvin told me. It's Scott Kirchner had a neighbor and the neighbor, I think, has cancer. That's what it is, cancer. And Scott called Wayne and said, man, I got a friend down here that's got cancer and I'm concerned about his soul. And so they went down and knocked on the door, went in and visited with the man. And the man sweetly trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and gave his heart to the Lord. And God used life situations. The Holy Spirit used life situations to bring that man's heart to a place of readiness. And a few weeks ago, Brother Greg and I were out on a Monday afternoon and we visited a lady whose son has been diagnosed with cancer and all kinds of problems in her life. And we sat with her and I was careful. I said, now listen, you need some money, but I'm not going to talk to you about money. And you need some help with your little son, but I'm not going to talk to you about help for your little son. You need some assistance, but I'm not going to talk to you about assistance. What you need more than anything is the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you need to be saved from your sin, and I want to talk to you about that. And after several minutes of going through the plan of salvation, she bowed her head and trusted the Lord Jesus as her Savior. And then she said, you know what she said? She said, could you do me a favor? And I thought she was going to ask for money or something. She said, could you get me a Bible? And could you mark all the verses you just showed me and put them in the same order that you showed them to me so that I can read them? And she was fixing to take her baby up to the Laurie Hospital up in Chicago. And I got her a Bible that afternoon and marked all the passages and gave it to the Bibbs family. They took her up and that woman wanted that Bible. Now, you know what? I think she's concerned about her son and she needs help and she needs assistance. But I think the Holy Spirit used all those life situations to prepare her heart for salvation. I remember years ago, it was 1986, was it? I didn't write the year down. January 30th. 1986, and soul winning was on Thursday night out at Marion Avenue Baptist Church, and I went and I got paired up with Dennis Lackender, and we went to Chicago. That'd be a long trip from we went to Iowa City, just a little bit smaller than Chicago out there. Only one skyscraper, you know, I'm just teasing, but anyway. We went over to Iowa City, and we started door knocking, just cold turkey, door to door, you know, the stuff that people say doesn't work anymore, and you can't do it, you know, it's all that nonsense. And so we're just knocking. And we come. This guy opens the door. It's obvious he's not an American citizen. He's from India, and I meet him. And his name is Abraham William, and he's got a PhD in chemistry. And I start talking with him about salvation. And Abraham, are you saved? And thankfully, he was not a Hindu. He was raised in what's called the Christian, the little less than 3% of the total population of India that's called Christian. But folks, you got to understand that Christian includes Catholicism and Jehovah's Witness and Seventh-day Adventist and all this stuff, you know. And so, no, I don't know that I'm going to heaven. And I just taught, and they will forget it. And, you know, and I went through and just showed them about being a sinner. Yep, there's the hell. Hell is the price for sin. Yep, and Jesus died on the cross. Okay, it doesn't tell you. Okay, and Jesus paid the price for you. Okay, and if you trust in what Jesus did, you can be saved. Okay, would you like to be saved? Yes, I would. And he trusted Christ as his Savior. I left. I think I said to Brother Dennis, well, that I'm not sure that took. He's still in church today. Down here in Brother Ed, his dad's church, down at his dad's church in Missouri, and he took his dad back to India, and his dad got to win some of his family members to Christ back in India. His daughter's at Providence this year, already got a 4-year degree from a school. Brilliant kids, these Indians, just brilliant kids, and came up to Providence. And now, you know, that was January 30th, 1986. Do you know that 2 days before that, I was sitting in a barber shop, January 28th. Watching the television, that barber was cutting my hair, had the TV going, and the space shuttle Challenger lifted off. Got a little ways up in the air and blew up. 7 people, including Krista McAuliffe, the teacher, was on board that thing. And that was national news. Everybody knew about it. And here we were, 48 hours, a little over 48 hours later, knocking on his door. And hey, do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? See, sometimes the Holy Spirit uses life's circumstances to bring us to a point of salvation, to make our hearts ready. You know, Brother Bragg prayed for the Underwood family at prayer time a little bit ago, and that Mr. and Ms. Underwood sat right back there on Sunday night, about where the barrels are sitting, and they belong to another church in the area. I don't know if they didn't have church on Sunday night or what, but they would come here on Sunday nights, and very faithful, belonged to the Creation Museum, and took a bunch of our candy cell kids on a trip and paid for their admission, expensive, paid for that. And Brother Underwood saved men and wrote some materials, and they're sweet people. And he was here Sunday night. And Tuesday, she went to the grocery store and came home after being at the grocery store. And here's an ambulance in her drive. And when she got closer, here's the coroner's car. And he had fallen off a ladder or had a heart attack or something and died. She came home and her husband was gone. Now, you know that tomorrow morning, so the pastor of his church is going to stand over here about 11:30, I think it is. I forget, 11:30. And he's going to bring a funeral message to those people who attend. And do you know that a funeral is a great place to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because hearts are soft at a funeral. Life situations. I'm just saying this morning that life situations prepare. The Holy Spirit uses life situations to make people ready for salvation. I understand. Look, it's easy. You have to be careful. If you're a soul winner, if you're a witness for Christ, and you get somebody who's going through a tough time, you have to be careful. You know, it'd be easy sometimes to twist them into a decision and lead them into praying a prayer that their heart is not prepared for. Sometimes all they want is help out of their immediate situation. They just want immediate help. But friends, sometimes the Lord, the Holy Spirit, uses life situations to prepare that heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. He does that over. Maybe that was your story. Maybe God used a life situation to bring you to the place where you were ready to be saved. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He uses parents and godly homes to bring children to the point of decision. He uses life situations. And then I had this thought. You know, the Holy Spirit sometimes uses the goodness of God to bring people to a point of decision. I think about Romans 2:4, where the Bible says the goodness of God leads to repentance. And that verse even warns us about despising the goodness of God, because He's forbearing and He's long-suffering, and God is patient and God is good to work on your heart and to wait for you and make you, to get you ready to repent and trust Jesus Christ. And sometimes it's the goodness of God. In fact, in this story, you know, Eliezer, he talked about all the blessings that were back at home. He talked about Abraham's wealth. He talked about Abraham's flocks. He even pulled some gold and silver out of his bag and said, "This belongs to my master and to my master's son." He talked about all the good things and all the pleasant things. And God used that to stir her heart. You say, "Well, I just don't think that's the right way to approach it." Well, I want to tell you something. Abraham really wanted a bride for his son. And God really wants a bride for his son. And so he made a place called heaven. And he told us all about it. And said, "You don't have to go to hell. Instead, you can go to heaven and live there forever and ever. And you can walk on streets of gold. And you can have your sins forgiven. And you can have comfort for the guilt that's in your life. And you can have a new start. You can become a new creature in Christ. And you can have a name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you can be on your way to all these positive and good things. Because God wants a bride for His Son." And God uses the good news. That's what the gospel is. You know that? The word gospel means good news, and God is good to use things to bring us to a point of decision. And sometimes it's the story of Christ's love, His willingness to die and pay for our sins. Sometimes the story of the Lord's love is enough to move a heart to decide for Christ. I think about that old eunuch who was riding on that chariot, had been to Jerusalem, and he was coming back home, and his heart was empty. And he was reading in Isaiah 53 about this sacrifice that would come and die, and God would bruise him and pay for sin. And he's reading about that. And next thing you know, he looks up, and here's Philip waving a hand and said, "Hey, hold, slow down, stop right here." And here's the eunuch, and he's got the manuscript open to Isaiah. And Philip sees it, and he says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, how can I save some man should guide me and lead me and help me? And Philip, the Bible says, got up in the chariot and at the same scripture preached unto him Jesus. And he started to tell him, Jesus is the one that's coming to die. Jesus is the one who's going to the cross. Jesus is the one who's going to shed his blood. Jesus is the one who he already been to the cross. I got my mind confused there. Things happen and I get off. I get to thinking about what's he want. I'm done in 2 minutes. If you can wait, can you wait that long, Joe? All right, very good. And Christ had already come, died, was buried, and rose again. And that's what Philip told the eunuch about. Said, hey, Jesus has already come. This fellow that the Bible's talking about here, he came and your sins can be forgiven. And it was the good news. And the eunuch trusted the Lord Jesus as his personal Savior in that chariot. And I'm just saying, friend, the Holy Spirit uses all kinds of things. He uses godly homes and parents to bring kids to a point of decision. And He uses life's circumstances and situations to bring people to a point of decision. And sometimes He uses the good news of sins forgiven and heaven being your home and your name written down in heaven. And He uses all of that to bring a person to a point of decision. Now listen, old Eliezer, he went. He found Rebecca. He started talking to her. He started telling her about Abraham and Isaac. He said, let's go meet your family. He told Rebecca's family about Abraham and Isaac, and Abraham wants a bride for his son. And he pulls out those bracelets and everything. He told the dad. He told the mom. He told the uncle. He told the aunt. He told the brother. He told the grandparents. But when it came time to make a decision whether or not she would go, you know who had to make it? She did. She did. And in verse 58, they said, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. The Holy Spirit uses godly parents and homes to bring a little child to a point of decision. But dad and mom, you can't make that decision for that child. That child has to decide, I want to be saved. And life circumstances can bring a person to a point of decision. And you can twist those circumstances to get a prayer out of them. But there's no salvation unless that person says, I will be saved. I want to be saved. And you can talk about heaven and sins forgiven and the glories of being saved. But friend, that person has to make a decision themselves. I will be saved. I will be saved. I love the work of the Holy Spirit when it comes to salvation. He prepares and moves and readies the heart. And then the person has to say, I will. I will be saved. Now, we didn't have any first-time guests here this morning, but I won't assume that everybody in here is saved. If you've never been saved, if the Holy Spirit of God, if you prayed a prayer sometime just to get dad off your back or mom happy and you've never been saved, but the Holy Spirit of God has worked on your heart through life circumstances or through anything else and brought you to a point of salvation, friend, I hope that you will say today, I will be saved. I will be saved. And if you're already saved, I hope that you'll see this morning that God uses all kinds of people. He uses parents. He uses friends. He uses neighbors. He uses church members to work through people and bring people to a point of salvation. There's somebody for me to win to Christ. There's somebody for you to win to Christ. The Holy Spirit will work through us to bring them to a point of decision so that they hopefully will say, I will be saved. Let's pray together this morning. Thank you for your attention, for listening today. Heavenly Father, thank you for salvation and all that you do to bring us to Jesus Christ. No man goes seeking after Jesus himself. No kid goes seeking after Jesus himself. The Spirit of God draws people, draws the person to Christ. And I pray, God, that you will continue to do that good work in the hearts and lives of lost people. Father, if there's somebody here this morning who's not yet saved, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. And I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to that heart today. That they've been made ready and they would say, yes, I want to be saved. And then, Father, use us to be sensitive as parents, as people, friends, neighbors, co-workers to those around us that you might be working in their life through a situation, through a circumstance. Help us to be sensitive to that and be led of the Holy Spirit to witness and see people saved. Thank you that the goodness of God brings us to a place of repentance. We love you this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one is looking. Who would say, Pastor, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. The truth of the matter is, I've never been saved. Maybe I prayed a prayer one time, but there was no Holy Ghost conviction. I just repeated some words to get somebody off my back, to make somebody happy, but I'm not saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand this morning? Would you slip it up, put it back? I don't know of a place or a time where under conviction I call on the Spirit, on the Lord Jesus Christ to save me. Pray for me. Anybody like that here this morning? All right, if you're saved and you know it, and the Lord has been speaking to you about the matter of baptism, and you came for that purpose this morning, you can come right now. While we wait, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one is looking, and we can help get you ready for baptism here in just a moment. And if you're here this morning, you're saved and you're baptized, let the Spirit of God lead you, folks. The Spirit of God knows the hearts that He's been working on, and it may just be that this week, it may be in the next 2 weeks, God will put you in contact with somebody whose Spirit of God has been working on them, their life circumstances, and they're ready to be saved if somebody would just tell them the sweet gospel story. Yield yourself to be used as a witness as you live for the Lord every day. Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning again for your word. If there's somebody that's lost, I pray that you'll save them. Thank you for the one that's come to be baptized. Speak to our hearts today in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, you play us a song of invitation. We'll not linger long. You come. If you'd like to pray for a moment this morning, if the Spirit of God maybe put a coworker or a neighbor on your heart, a neighbor who has cancer, and you're not sure if they're saved, maybe the Spirit of God is preparing that heart through the cancer for salvation. Be sensitive, be tender, be yielded as we live for the Lord, for the Holy Spirit to use us to seek a bride for Jesus Christ. While we wait this morning, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and the Lord speak to you today.